All right, in our few minutes that we have together left, I want to draw your attention to the sixth in our series of sweeping statements about prayer tonight. We're going to be looking at John chapter 16, specifically at verses 23 and 24. By way of review, just the last few that we've done, we've looked at the fact that prayer is to be through Jesus Christ. He is the mediator by which we go to the Father. The person that is praying is to be in the completest and fullest sympathy with Jesus Christ. In other words, in His name means I desire for the will of God to be performed in my praying. And then finally, when we pray, we need to exercise faith. Exercise faith, knowing that God hears and answers our prayer. That's the encouraging thing about prayer, is that we can grow in faith, seeing God answer prayer. I tell you, it's been so remarkable in my lifetime, you know, of growing up in a church and then becoming part of the leadership of the church, the change in my own heart and life about prayer. Prayer used to be something that we did as a family every morning. I mentioned this morning we've been doing a series of prayer in our middle school Bible. I said my earliest memory was around the kitchen table having prayer time. My dad would be up all night long having worked midnight shift. He'd be there in the morning. He'd be sitting at the end of the table, and he had his prayer list. And Mom had her prayer list at the other end. And they were going over, reviewing the prayer list, and we went around the table, and we had prayer time together. That was my earliest memory. And then I left home. You know? Now, what do you do now? Do you pray on your own now, or do you stop praying now? You know, it's an amazing thing. Whenever you've had something done for you, and then it's time for you to do it, some people never transition. I've watched young people that grew up in a church and then they just never transitioned to adulthood, Christian adulthood. They seem to be stuck. They don't know how to pray on their own. They don't have a desire to pray. You know, if they can remember, they'll pray at their meals. But I've seen young people that grew up in Christian homes and seen them after a few years and maybe go out to eat with them and it's gobble, gobble, gobble time. You know, and no thought of praying. Why should we pray? You know, God already provided the food. Why should we pray? Well, it's about thanking Him. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. All right? And so when we come to this last one here, there's something very important that God shares with us about prayer. I want you to see this in verses 23 and 24. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. That's interesting. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we conclude this series tonight. We pray that you would give us an understanding of what all is involved with prayer. That prayer is not something that we tack on to the Christian life. It's in reality the very life of the Christian. Well, we are connected with Thee, Father, through Jesus Christ, and our joy is impacted. Father, I pray that we might get a hold of these truths. Help us, Father, to understand the privilege of prayer. Help us, Father, to immediately go to prayer rather than the last minute, last effort type thing that we do because we've exhausted ourselves, can't come up with an answer. I guess we'll pray now. That seems to be the spirit these days. But Father, I pray that you would deliver us from that spirit and that you would teach us concerning prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage, Jesus is dealing specifically with the disciples because he's going to be going away soon. The crucifixion is just in a few chapters here. And the ascension, going back to the Father, and they would not be able to talk directly to Jesus Christ anymore. They had watched the miracles be performed. When they didn't have money for tax money, they went down and Jesus said, go down to the shore and pull up a fish and open his mouth, and there was the money. This had been their life for 3 years. They had gone to the feeding of the 5,000 and watched as Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and provided enough food
for all of those people, and they took up 12 baskets full of bread afterwards. That was their life. They had watched the blind receive their sight. They had seen the lame healed. You know, all of these things, it had almost become commonplace. And now Jesus say, now it's time to transition. The relationship is going to change. Whereas you have watched as every need has been supplied you, everyone, they didn't have a place to stay. Jesus had no place to lay his head. He always lived at somebody else's house. Every need had been supplied during those 3 years. And he says, now I'm going to be going to the Father. And when you pray, you're going to have to pray in my name. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will give it to you. In other words, they were going to have to exercise faith in the Father through Jesus Christ to have their needs met after they've witnessed this physically for 3 years. Do you understand where Jesus Christ is coming from now and the importance of what he's sharing right now? And he connects something to prayer that these disciples probably had never even considered. And that was joy. Have you ever put the two thoughts together, prayer and joy? It's interesting, and I went to the book of Philippians. Philippians is the keynote in the Bible of joy and rejoicing. And sure enough, in the first chapter and the fourth verse, we read there this truth. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request, what's the next two words? With joy. In other words, the attitude that permeates my prayer life as I remember you Philippian believers is joy in prayer. I think sometimes that people use prayer as a last resort type thing. Because we are so connected with this world and with the culture and how the culture does things, we just do things. If we need something, we get in the car and go to the store and buy it, right? I mean, that's just what we do. If we need something, we go and get it. If we have to make a decision, we make it. But for the Christian, it's totally different. Because you see, for the Christian, it's not my will, but thine be done. And so immediately for the Christian, there should be, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you deal with this situation? What should we purchase? What should we do here? It should be the natural default setting for the child of God. And God connects something to it, your joy. Your joy and rejoicing is linked to your prayer life. Now, does that upset you?
Well, that's not what I thought about prayer.
It is. That's how important it is. I guarantee when we get to heaven, God will show us. Now remember, we're going to have to stand before Him and give an account. And He's going to show us what joy we could have had if we had been more connected with Him in prayer. All right? He will show us. This is what you could have enjoyed through me, if you had just connected with me in prayer. But you were too busy. You had other things to do. You were too busy making the decisions and making all the plans and doing this and doing that. And most Christians today, I say most, many Christians today, they do not connect prayer with joy. They connect joy with circumstances of life. And I've got to fill my life with so many things that will bring me what? Joy. That's what the culture has taught us. If you do these things, you will have fun. You'll be joyful. The world is killing itself trying to have fun. Have you noticed how many things have been invented in the last 20 years that supposedly are fun, that are dangerous? Bungee jumping. Okay? That's come out in the last 20 years. Oh, that's fun. Right? You tie stuff around your ankles and you jump off of a bridge. All right? Well, that's great fun, especially when your ankles are so small that they slip through at the bottom and you keep right on going down into the dive and in the water like some people have done. Or the bungee strap breaks. Oops. Well, that's great fun. All right? Or trying to outrun police officers. It seems like it's almost on a weekly basis that at news, when I go home at noon, I watch news or whatever, and they've got some coverage of a police chase in California. You know, and they've got to have helicopters. Don't they understand? If they would just quit televising all this stuff, most of that would go away. But people do it for fun, entertainment. They do dangerous stuff. The cable television is full of nonsense of people doing stupid things, dangerous things, for fun, so they can have joy, right? And when they're in the hospital recovering, they have lots of it, don't they?
Oh, I wish I hadn't jumped off the house.
They've had these programs where they have idiots jumping off the house onto the back of a car or something like that, and then they have to tote them to the hospital. Oh, that's joy. That's not joy. That's dumb. All right? Are you listening, young people? Oh, it's so funny. I can't wait to see that. We live in a dumb world where dumb is glorified. It happens on a daily basis where dumb is glorified and smart is not. Oh man, you got to try this. I got this supercharged vehicle. I'm going to see how fast I can make it go. Go ahead and see what it gets you. This world is full of that. And the motivation behind it is fun and joy and stuff. And all they do is they sit around thinking about the next thing they're going to plan because they don't have joy right now. Some people have to have clowns all the time, parties, all that kind of stuff. And isn't it interesting that God never once connects joy with things you do in the Bible? Except one. What is it? Prayer. That's what He connects. That's disappointing to some Christians. Oh man, you gotta be kidding me. Spend time in prayer. Exercise myself in prayer. I got a lot of other things I could be doing. And they do it. And they don't have joy. The Bible is concerned about your joy, and Jesus connected the two thoughts together. Notice this again in our text, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. They had lived with Him. They had seen Him provide all their needs. He had taken care of them. Now He's going away. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Interesting, that word full there, very long Greek word. I won't torture you with it, and I won't try to torture myself trying to say it. But it simply means may be fulfilled. In other words, your joy will not be fulfilled until you come to the place where you exercise faith in God in prayer, asking Him, Lord, You direct in our family. Lord, You direct in this purchase. Lord, You direct in this plan. And this. Lord, we want Your will in every aspect of our life. We want every thought captivated by wanting Your will. Do you think that that's really how most people live in churches in America today? Where every thought is brought into captivity like the Bible says is supposed to be, and the decisions of life are made based upon what God would desire? Sometimes God wants you to wait. But we plunge ahead. We do things. You know what I found out over the years in my own experience, and I can only testify, and I've seen others that I thought this was the case, but I can only testify to myself. The things that I plowed ahead with to do were usually the biggest mistakes of my life. Just plowing ahead. I'm going to do this or bust. And guess what happened? Bust. Okay? My plans, my desires, my this, my that. God has a way of throwing things in reverse. When you start plunging ahead, you look at the testimonies of God's saints through the years. You think about whenever Abraham went down to Egypt. He thought that was the best course of action, but was it God's will? No, it wasn't. What does he do when he gets down to Egypt? He goes in there and the Pharaoh there takes a liking to his wife. She's pretty. So he says, you know what? You're my sister. All right? Once again, he thought that was the best course of action, right? Let's go to Egypt. Best course of action. They've got food down there. They've got plenty of money, Everything is good down in Egypt. Then he gets down there. Pharaoh likes his wife. Oh, you're my sister. Next thing you know, he's in deep trouble with the Pharaoh because he finds out that Sarah is his wife. Everything that Abraham plunged himself into in his own will turned out to be what? A major problem, and he got asked to leave Egypt. Okay? Now, I've been asked to leave a few times, but I've never been asked to leave a country because I lied to the Pharaoh about my wife, and he was a believer. He was a believer. You can go through and look throughout the Bible. There's circumstances where God worked in His people and He just brought things to naught, put through things in reverse, said, wait a minute, I don't want you going that way. Remember Jonah? This is my final example here. Jonah. God speaks to him, said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the message. Jonah says, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm going to go down there. God's going to, you know, fix it all up for them. I don't need to go. So he hops on board a ship and he heads off. He's pursuing his plan. Right? And what does God do? Because Jonah was God's child, God threw things in reverse. Storm comes up. Ship starts rotting. He's down in the belly of the ship sleeping. Some people would say, well, see there, he was in God's will. He was perfectly happy down there sleeping in the belly of the ship. Certainly he would have been miserable outside the will of God. Let me tell you something. I know some people that I've witnessed that were perfectly happy in their sin. But God stirred up a storm, started to brew, and immediately Jonah knew what was going on. And he said to them, if you throw me into the water, the sea will stop. And God prepared for him a large fish, the Bible says. And I don't care what all of these knucklehead preachers that say, well, there's no whale big enough to swallow a man. Well, God could have made one on the spot. Amen? He could have said, you know what? I'm going to make a whale big enough to swallow him. I don't have to come up with an earthly explanation. I know that God said he was swallowed by a whale. I believe he died there. And then God resurrected him. You know what he was doing? He was teaching Jonah, it's better to follow my will that your joy may be full. And isn't it interesting in Jonah chapter 2 that he comes to himself in the belly of the well and he rejoices with thanksgiving to God? He comes to the place where he begins to rejoice. I've never rejoiced inside the belly of a fish, have you? Swimming with the seaweed? That doesn't seem like it'd be a place of joy to me, but the Bible says that's the kind of spirit that he had there. And then the Bible says immediately he was coughed up onto the shore. God had taught him his lesson. He had connected the will of God with joy. I want to tell you something, folks. When God connects prayer with joy, you better sit up and pay attention. And the reason that you may not have joy tonight, the reason that you may not experience the wonder of God-given joy. And by the way, the Greek word there is chara. We get the word charis, grace, from that word. Really means grace fulfilling. Grace fulfilling in your life. You don't see that. You don't know that. It may just be you're not praying. You're not praying. You're not asking God. You're doing your own thing. You only ask God for the big stuff. Crisis. Woo! You know, it's interesting. I went through, and I won't take the time to share this all with you, but I looked at all the times that Jesus prayed. He prayed before crisis. He prayed after crisis. He prayed before great achievements. He prayed before small things. It was a spirit and attitude of prayer that was found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His joy was full because the Spirit of God was given Him without measure, and the Spirit of God has been given to you. And through prayer, you and I can experience joy. So if you don't have joy tonight, bitterness, why did all these things happen to me, difficulties come into your life for whatever reason, it may just be you haven't come to the place where you've learned to pray. Well, I pray before every meal. That's not what I'm talking about. If you totaled that up, it might be 30 seconds for the day. Good job. Okay? In this world, we'd be lining you up and giving you a medallion and a trophy, right? This person prays three times a day. Let's give them the Sunday school award for prayer. God's not happy with that. The Bible says pray without what? Ceasing. It's to be the spirit and attitude of our life, where we're breathing in and out. Oh, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to handle this situation? Do you talk to God all day long? The time that you go without prayer is the time without joy. It's without joy. Mark it down. Examine your life. When you get into the spirit and attitude of prayer, the Bible will bring waves of joy into your heart and life. Where Paul, who was writing from prison to the Philippians, would say, when I make prayer requests for you, I do it with all joy and rejoicing. In prison? Yes. That's the attitude and spirit that we should have. Six sweeping statement about prayer from the Gospels is the fact that God wants you to ask Him in Jesus' name that your joy may be full, that it may be fulfilled, grace fulfilling in your heart and life. Let's let the Word of God saturate our heart and mind. Let's not talk about prayer. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make it a... I'm not saying that you walk around with your prayer list all day. I keep all kinds of prayer lists in front of my Bible and walk around all day like this. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a spirit of prayer. The telephone rings. Who might it be? Who might it be? I don't know. Lord, help me to have wisdom. Can you pray before a phone call? Breathe a prayer as you answer that phone. Lord, to give you wisdom. It may be the most horrible news you've ever received in your life. Are you ready to receive it? You will if you have a spirit of prayer. It may be something tragic. It may be something that's insignificant to start with. You've ever had one of those phone calls that seemed insignificant, and then you found out later it just blew up into something big? Wouldn't it have been good to enter that in prayer, that your joy might be full? We need to have that spirit. Your joy is not connected with family events. Your joy is not connected with parties and trips to the beach. Your joy is directly connected to your relationship with the Father in prayer. And Todd Brainer didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that to His disciples. One of the last words that He had to say to them before He left this earth and left them, as they were standing there gazing, Mr. O'Pager talked about that on Sunday, they stood there gazing, He's gone! I could have pictured it in their minds, because that's what I would have been saying. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's one of those swallow your gum moments. Dr. J.B. Williams used to say, he used to have those swallow your gum moments where you think about the overwhelming things and Jesus is gone. What are you going to do? You're going to pray. That's what Christians do. They pray. Non-Christians don't. Maybe there needs to be a self-examination if there's no desire or love to communicate with the Father in prayer and there's no joy. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, we thank You for this series from the Gospels, how important it is to pray. And I ask, dear Father, that You would help us all to develop a spirit and attitude of prayer where it's so natural it's like breathing. Oh, we like to cry out when things are going tough and everything seems to be caving in after we've just made all of our decisions and they were wrong ones. And we go into panic mode and we start praying then. But that's basically too late. We need to have that spirit of prayer before, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. I pray that You might work in our hearts tonight, that we might be the kind of prayer warriors where we can see Your work performed in our lives and in our children's lives and in this church ministry, in our school, in our homes, every part of our undertakings, Father. Lord, we look to Thee, and we pray that Your will would be done, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.